For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth, and the words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming from his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The instructions of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from the honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them, and in keeping them, there is an abundant reward. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Okay, Brother Tom, I'm here now.
We thank the Lord.
And thank you for what you did. Appreciate your help. Good morning. Welcome to Grace Church Salida. You know, you don't realize how much people stay to the back of the room until you sit in the front and you feel all alone. I get it. I do the same thing. Well, my name is Dan Higgins. Somehow I'm one of the elders here at Grace Church. Last week, Pastor Matthew started his message exclaiming his joy and appreciation for the fellowship we have here. I'd like to do a little bit of that myself. Many of you know my wife had hip replacement surgery a week before last. And through the prayer chain, it would be how you'd know that. And then through the meal provision that many of you did, you really blessed our socks off, especially mine. I think I speak for Tammy as well when I say that. For Tammy, the hip replacement went well. It was successful, but she also has another condition called arachnoiditis, which is chronic pain in the lower spine region, and it caused drop foot, so there was a lot of concern for it. So your prayers were even more valued to us than the food. Thank you very much, church family. I agree with Tom and Matthew and in the comments that this fellowship is so extraordinary and wonderful. Thank you, guys. As I was preparing for this message this morning, I just kept having a calming feeling with the knowledge that it takes a full team, and there is a huge team of people who put together a service on a Sunday morning. There's people in the sound booth. There's the welcoming people, obviously the worship team. So big thanks to all of you. I'd like to ask you all, help me give them a hand. I have completely lost my place. I do want to say, and I'm going to go on and on here before I get to the word, but it really is a deep and solemn honor to be here this morning in the pulpit to preach on Psalm 19. Please open your Bibles now to Psalm 19. As you do that, I would like to pray for us. Yahweh, we are gathered here together to sing praises, to worship, and to learn more about you. We are grateful for your presence and for our awesome worship teams. Bless them mightily in their humble hearts of worship and the time and energy they invest so we can sing praises to your name together. Holy Spirit, please prepare the hearts, minds, and spirits of all gathered here today. And God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Amen. So, Psalm 19. The first six verses, I just want to share my thoughts on this. David's focus is going to be on the created heavens and the revelation of God in all his glory that is magnificently demonstrated in them. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the ends of the world. So David, the author of Psalm 19, was first a shepherd. As the youngest of eight sons, tradition was that the youngest would serve the family as shepherd. With the responsibility, he would be accustomed to spending days and nights for weeks at a time outdoors, watching the skies and looking after the flock, looking for weather to navigate by the stars and to revel in and be surrounded by God's glorious creation. God prepared him for becoming a man after God's own heart. A mighty warrior, a musician, poet, and worship leader, and eventually king, by placing him in the middle of his glorious creation, often alone, with massive amounts of time to pray and meditate on his word. Distractions came in the form of real dangers and dilemmas, like lions, bears, wolves, and lost sheep, while constantly aware of the need to find water and pastures to sustain the flock. David's references to heavens, referring to the daytime sky and the nighttime sky, should be seen as coming from a man who knew them better than most of us, for sure. He would be comforted by the heavens. After all, it was his home. Comforted by the expanse, having prayed, worshiped, slept, had meals, and reflected on Torah under them, day and night, through the dry heat of summer and the bitter cold of winter. David wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms in our Bible. He mentions the heavens in 17 of them. As a shepherd, his focus on the sky, the expanse, would be a matter of life and death, not only for the inevitable storms, but for life-giving rain for the pastures he'd have to lead the sheep to for survival. Shepherding in Israel was a nomadic endeavor, and success or failure depended on green pastures for the sheep to feed in. A shepherd would be completely dependent on God's provision. It makes sense that so much of who David became was influenced by his time as a shepherd, watching the moon rise on one horizon and fall to the other through all its cycles. The welcome warmth of sunrise would surely be a relief after a long night of guarding the flock from predators. I will say the coldest I've ever been is just before the sunrise on hunting or camping trips. Bet some of you can relate. According to estimates from Earth Sky's website, there are around 2,000 stars visible to the unaided human eye. That's on a good night, assuming there are no clouds, no moon, and that you're away from the lights of town. 141,371 stars can be seen with a small telescope, according to NASA's website. I want to share a quote with you from Tholuck, cited in Charles Spurgeon's writings. Though all preachers on earth should grow silent, and every human mouth cease from publishing the glory of God, the heavens above will never cease to declare and proclaim his majesty and glory. They are forever preaching, for, like an unbroken chain, their message is delivered from day to day and from night to night. I'd like you to consider the moments in life when you actually, really slowed down, perhaps on a camping trip. A time when you could lay back, maybe in the grass with your kids after you played with them, or your buddies when you were younger, and you really studied the sky. What words come to mind as you recall? Incredible. Inconceivable. Brilliant. Dazzling. Magnificent. Breathtaking. Spectacular. Stunning. Mind-boggling. Well, how about glorious?
Glorious.
How about testimony? Oh, and just by the way, the expanse, the space between the celestial bodies, the infinitiness, I don't think that's a word, is a whole different aspect to be amazed by. The space between the celestial bodies that goes on and on and on and on. There are no words we can speak to adequately convey what God created. If I were to try and to describe it as to a blind person, how would I? How would you? No matter where you are on this earth, you can look up and see the heavens and the expanse. The enormity of the expanse is in and of itself a reflection of God. How big is our God? If a picture is worth 1,000 words, how many words is our view of the heavens worth? Delight in what's around us. He creates the greatest artwork for each of us personally. Your view of it is unique and tailored by God to you, to in your life in this moment. I'd like to share a story with you. Several years ago, I was driving home from Gunnison. I work in Gunnison part-time, so I'm over there a lot. And it had gotten pretty dark. It was New Year's Eve, as a matter of fact. And it was one of those drives. You know, when you're struggling in life. I was in deep prayer, and the Lord was with me. And it was a good time. I really felt His presence. We were in deep fellowship. Before I got to the pass, driving through the rolling hills with Chaboneau and Sawatch, with Chaboneau and the Sawatch Range looming, the moon began to rise. And it was a full moon. It was like a harvest moon. It was really orange. As I got closer to the base of Monarch and started up the snow-covered mountain, the moon disappeared, only to reappear as I got a little ways up the pass. As I would go in and around the corners going up the pass on the west side, the moon would come and go. I saw so many moonrises, I lost track of how many. It was phenomenal. It was a glorious, it's the best artwork I've ever seen. So I was alone on the road watching these moonrises. And just thrilled, you know, my spirit was filled. And so as I approached the crest of Monarch, I was getting kind of down. I was feeling disappointed because I realized no more moonrises. I wasn't going to see anything more exciting. And then I come up to the crest, and what do I see? Monarch's scariest fireworks display explodes above me. As I said before, God's timing is perfect. Deuteronomy 4:19 says, when you look to the heavens and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the stars in the sky, do not be led astray to bow down and worship to them and serve them. The Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under the heaven. It's about worshiping the Creator, not the creation. Psalm 8:3-4, when I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him? And Romans 1:18-20a, For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. I have no doubt David would often return to his childhood home outdoors, where the heavens would remind him of how big God is, and glorious Yahweh is as well, as evidenced by his magnificent creation. So back to Psalm 19, verse 4b. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming from his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The tent for the sun, that's the night. The bridegroom rises from his room and with great enthusiasm and excitement, he goes to his bride. I'm sure many of us can remember that feeling. The sun blazes across the sky, bright and strong with a sure and steady pace, like a well-trained marathon runner. Think Kenyan Zeke Wilcox. Last week, I intentionally watched the sunrise. It was chilly. Smoke still hazed the early pre-dawn light. I made some notes about it for the purpose of sharing with you if it seemed right. It did, so I will. The neighbor's rooster is crowing and has been for a while, letting the world know the sun is coming up. And now I'm getting more cold than chilly, but I have my trusty hot cup of coffee to warm me up. I watched from Howard facing the deep blue 10,000-foot Spruce Mountain and Cedar Springs Mountain. I wanted to be reminded of a closely watched sunrise since it had been a while since I'd experienced what David was on about. You know how it's light above the ridges for what seems like forever, just before the dawn? And as it gets slowly lighter, you can see a little bit more detail in the mountains taking shape, a little more detail in the valleys and the trees. Just before it bursts over the ridgeline. You guys seen that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like a bolt of lightning, that first burst of the sun. Awesome. Well, how many times have you tried to watch the sunrise and you glanced away at just the wrong moment? I've done it a ton. Frustrating. Not this time, though. When it did burst over the ridgeline, it held my eyes for just a few seconds longer than I normally would be able to because of the haze of the smoke. And it was awesome. It burst over like a crack of thunder, a crack of lightning. Now after this, I'm seeing stars because I didn't look away soon enough. Once it clears the ridge, it seems like it's really moving up fast. Almost immediately, the birds come to life with a variety of chirping. Hummingbird buzzes past, and the rooster is at full throttle now, blaring out his screaming announcement, "The sun is up, sun is up." I wonder if it'll be like this when Jesus returns. No doubt, so much better. Then the long shadows quickly shorten, and my neighbor pulls up and asks if I heard the bear roll over our dumpster last night. We chat for a few minutes, and I wish her a good day, and the world seems to come alive, barely aware of the glory of God all around. And the nearly full moon still lingers over my shoulder over Hunt's Peak. It's always made me chuckle a little that the moon doesn't know when to go to bed. Malachi 4:2 says, "But for you who fear my name, the sun," that's spelled with a U, "the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall." The metaphor here cannot and should not be missed. The sun in the sky is a special reference and a reminder of the Son of God, Christ our Lord, and his past, present, and future glory. Okay, back to the Psalms, number 19. We're going to be in verse 7 here. I do want to mention to you that David changes focus to the law of the Lord, the revelation of God in his word. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warmed by them, and in keeping them, there is an abundant reward. The instruction, also known as the law, and known to David as the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the instruction of God, which he requires nothing less than perfect adherence to, takes us from seeing his glory in his creation to understanding his glory in his plan. Let me repeat that. The law of God, which he requires of us nothing less than perfect adherence to, takes us from seeing his glory in his creation to understanding his plan, to understanding his glory in his plan. When I say his plan, I'm referring to God's word found in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It is his plan worked out. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Think about it. If you don't know the rules of the game, how can you play? To be acceptable to Almighty God and be welcomed into heaven, you must know what sin is. You must realize you are a sinner. And I am a sinner. Jonathan, are you a sinner? Bruce, you ever been a sinner? I can tell you we're all sinners. And if we don't accept that, then we can't seek God's forgiveness. Our study of the book of Romans, thank you for that, Matthew, shines a great deal of light on the law and its application to us as Gentiles, non-Jews. I encourage you all to refer back to the book of Romans often. Once you've been convicted of your sin, you need a way to be forgiven for your sin. In the time of David, the only way to atone for your sins was to sacrifice to God the best of your livestock. Thanks be to God that his plan included David's great 25 greats grandson, who would be born to us through an immaculate conception as Emmanuel, God with us, by name Jesus, who was and is and will forever be the Christ. Jesus demonstrated what a perfect life looks like. He taught 12 disciples how to live godly lives in pursuit of fulfillment of the law, and he would be the final perfect sacrifice for our sins. And by that sacrifice, Jesus grants each and every one of us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to attain perfection, but only by accepting him as our Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins and claiming his blood shed on the cross for our Passover come Judgment Day. In a few moments, we're going to take communion together in remembrance of his sacrifice. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let today be the day. Please, I implore you, take a moment right now to ask God to reveal himself to you and draw you into your salvation through Jesus. I and the other elders, Pastor George, Pastor Matthew, if you're out there, will be blessed and honored to pray with you and answer any questions you may have about Jesus. In fact, elders and pastors, would you guys stand up and be recognized so if anybody needs to pray with you, they'll know where to find you. Thank you, men. The testimony of the Lord. What could be more trustworthy? Clearly, David isn't fumbling about trying to understand some Big Bang theory and how it all began. David trusts God, and I align with him 100%. The precepts of the Lord are right. As a father, I know that my children felt safe when they knew the rules and the consequences of disobeying those rules. They could thrive and flourish and test boundaries, and they did. And Tammy and I corrected them, and we love them still. And they learned to trust that we would. How much better is the love of Almighty God? The command of the Lord, the divine rules and spiritual laws in all areas of life. What God commands is pure, with no ulterior motive. He means what he says. The deal is non-negotiable. Lighting our eyes in the way we should go and to see things as God sees them. The fear of the Lord. Well, anything less than a very healthy fear of the Creator of the heavens, the oceans, the mountains, the universe is presumptuous and prideful. Beware. The God who made his chosen people wander in the desert for 40 years after having allowed them to be enslaved by the Egyptians should be feared. The God who in Numbers 25, after the people began to prostitute themselves with the women of Moab and attended the sacrifices to the Moabite gods and aligned themselves with Baal of Peor. And God said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord so that his burning anger may turn away from Israel. Our fear shouldn't be an anxious kind of fear. It should translate as awe, driving severe, sincere reverence. Not to fear, revere, and be in awe of God seems mighty foolish indeed. The ordinances of the Lord. King James Version uses the word judgments of the Lord. God's ordinances or judgments are commandments with the force of a judicial pronouncement. Pronouncements that he makes on each person and all his or her doings. More valuable than an abundance of pure gold, the sweetest and purest honey, that which drips from the honeycomb. Can you imagine a society without laws, without order? I know right now it's a little easier than it used to be. But no laws? That sounds like Mad Max to me. No thanks. God's laws are the source of peaceful, abundant life. The law of the land is based on God's laws. The Ten Commandments are foundational to every successful, orderly society, whether God is acknowledged as a source or not. What is the reward of obeying the law? It lies in listening to and living by the Word of God. It leads to the joy of fellowship with the Creator of everything, including the law. John 14:21 says, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. The next verses to discuss are verses 12 through 14. This is about the revelation of God in the faithful worshiper. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We should all be so bold and humble as David, to know we sin without even knowing it, and to seek forgiveness often. Pastor Dave Benizzi regularly reminded me, keep short accounts with God. For 1 Timothy 2:8 says, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. How can our hands be holy if we've not sought forgiveness through Christ our Lord? Matthew 6:13 from the Lord's Prayer says, and do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. David, near the end of this beautiful worship-filled poem, seeks God's help in resisting pride. Verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a wonderful, beautiful worship song. Made all the more amazing considering David was and is considered one of the most revered kings of all time. I'll finish my message today with a quote from C.S. Lewis, who said of Psalm 19, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. Please join me in prayer. Worship team, would you guys like to come back up? Lord, we come to you today in fellowship with and worship of you. Thank you so much for blessing us with your glorious and beautiful creation. Thank you for guiding us toward you with your law. God, please incite us in a fervent passion to learn and know your law, your word, your plan for us as believers in our Lord Jesus. Remind us to enjoy your glorious creation and to always let it be a reminder of your glory and your power and your authority in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.